Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. Barbara and Declan are here, and I am mindful of the fact that the kids are off school now, so there may be little ears. So, one of the questions might, you know.
It's fierce dodgy.
Well, one of the questions now, it's not the first one, it's the second one. But the second one might have children asking, "Mammy, what's that?" Yeah. And then it's quite likely Mammy will go, "I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to Google that."
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll get to that in a little while.
People are thinking. Yeah. No, it's not that one. It's the other one.
Yeah,
exactly.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, first question. Mm. I saw my ex and her new boyfriend and I'm crushed. We split up over a year ago, but have two kids together and the breakup has been brutal. It's so upsetting to see how quickly she moved on from being this great partner of mine to finding love with someone else. I still think about her all the time and just can't even think about moving on or meeting anyone while she seems so happy already. I can't help but feel heartbroken but also really resentful. I moved out of our house and now only see the kids at weekends. I really miss them and the life we all used to have together. I feel like I have barely had a chance to think about what happens next as I've just been in survival mode trying to financially cover as much as possible. I feel hurt that she's obviously prioritised things very differently. The breakup was her idea, and I always suspected that she might be interested in somebody else, but this new boyfriend seems to be somebody she met on the apps, rather than at work or anything. How can I move on, or should I say something to her?
God. That letter is just, like, it's so full of kind of sorrow and hurt and confusion. Like, I really could feel this man, I think. I could feel his pain. I mean, there are a couple of things I'll say, but I would also say that ultimately this writer probably would benefit from some professional help in working out the feelings, because it's quite complicated. But there are a couple of things that I'd say. And for me, there are kind of two issues. And the first is clearly that I'm assuming it's a man that he is still in love with his ex and in love with their life that they had together as a family.
Sure.
All of which has come to an end. And so it must be heartbreaking for him to see her now with somebody else. Although I would say to him that she may not be in love, just because she's seeing somebody else may not be like it's all roses in the garden and it's all a big love job. It may not last. So it mightn't be quite as wonderful as he is thinking it looks from the outside. I think he also, what I'm picking up from the letter is a degree of resentment that for him, she seems to be free of the kind of worry and angst that he's left with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said she's moving on, but he's still in survival mode. And I understand that. I mean, a breakup is hard anyway, but when it involves one person having to move out of the family home and then reduce the time they get to spend with their children, that must be really devastating. But I would urge him not to resent his ex too much, because the kids will pick up on that very quickly and that's not good. But the last thing I say is that the kids and you know, like as he said, he's sad about that the life that they had together is now over. And also going from living with your children to now only seeing them at the weekend. Like, I totally get how that would be really, really hard.
Difficult.
So I'm just wondering, and I mean, it might be too early for this yet, but it might be something a little bit further down the road that they could work out. You know, if things remain or are amicable between him and his ex, if there was some way that he could just spend more time with his children, if that's what he'd like. So maybe one evening that he goes over to the house after work, helps them with their homework, prepares the dinner, you know, and just gets them to bed and do all that stuff with them maybe one night during the week. And if necessary, that she would go out or, you know, disappear for a couple of hours.
She'd probably go out with a new fella. Yeah. That's not going to make him feel much better.
Free babysitting.
He's facilitating it now.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think that he needs to focus on, like, if the relationship with his wife is over, then it's over, unfortunately. And that'll take him time to get used to. But I'm trying to say that if he could focus on the relationship with his children and try to see more of them, that might help. And, you know, I always think that, like, you know, when you hear of a breakup like that or a death very often, the person left bereft also is not only just sad and grieving the loss of the relationship, But also the vision that you had of your future, which you thought was going in one direction, suddenly all changes. And that's really hard to come to grips with.
About the imagined life together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I definitely think that perhaps he should maybe think of talking professionally to somebody to help him deal with all of these different strands of emotions that he's going through.
I think often, you know, and that's a really good point. It is like grief that, you know, that letter reeks of somebody who's struggling with the complexities and the kind of different levels of grief, where you're trying to live in the moment and be practical and just get on with things while at the same time dealing with the loss of what you had before. Plus, as you point out, your future, you know, uncertain now. You don't know where you're going while you still have to deal with the kind of the remnants of your old life as well. Because it's not like it's a clean break where you just go crack,
that's right,
gone, done. I can start, you know, a fresh page.
Yeah.
This is like somebody, you know, having to deal with, you know, moving on to the next stage while watching somebody with whom they were very intimate move on in another way. That's really complicated and really confusing. And it requires like a level of compartmentalization of thought in each different moment where you go, what am I thinking? What am I feeling right now? Am I feeling angry because of what's actually happening? Or am I feeling sad because of that lost future that I'm dealing with and all that kind of stuff? And it is something that I think that you do need to have a professional to talk through with that. I would suggest going to counselling, because it is one of those ones where, I mean, again, it's really hard to go to counselling these days because it's so expensive. But it is one of those things where people get to talk about their feelings. You know, they get to be angry.
Yeah,
you get to be annoyed. Yeah. You get to bitch about somebody's behaviour. You get to gossip about, you know, her off with you. And it's safe and it's contained. And then somebody intelligent will then...
And he's got no skin in the game.
Get you back on the straight and narrow, so then you can get back into the practicalities. Because it's keeping your head above water, but in this kind of middle ground is what will get you through to the, you know, the future, which is going to be, you know, a different thing. It's going to have its positive side for this guy, no doubt. But it is that thing of like, you know, when you're still in the transition phase from your old life into a new life, and you have to find a way to make it work. And it's I think it's a really difficult situation because it's so messy.
And it is hard, as you say, because he's already mentioned about the financial burden of trying to, you know, continue. Obviously, he's going to have got to pay for wherever he's living and pay for half of wherever the family are living in.
Yeah, I remember reading a statistic. Someone said that it takes, after a divorce or a split up like that, that it takes 10 years to recoup to get back to where you were
even keel, financially. Yeah. Like that's tough as well. And it can mean that, like, as you say, if money is tight, something like counselling is going to fall down the priority.
Sure. Yeah, that's why I said that.
Yeah.
And it is that scenario. But what I would urge, though, is, if you know, is that it is an investment.
It is,
that would help, like, you know, to see the reality. I can see that. It's kind of like on one side you're going, I need to, you know, pay for the kids' school and blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is that's going on. And the other side, me going to counselling seems like an indulgence.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, it's not an indulgence.
No.
You know, and particularly, you know, maybe you can offset by saying, well, I'm not going out with my new partner, so I'm not going to fancy rest. So I'll spend that on a counsellor and I'll get myself to a stage where I can be. And I would suggest that that's it.
I agree too, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he's assuming she's all this, you know. Now, she has moved on and but it's, you know, he's assuming she's deliriously happy.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. That may not be the case at all, absolutely. You know. Yeah. So.
Again, though, it's kind of weird. It's kind of become none of his business. It's kind of become none of his business whether she's happy in love or not. He's kind of at the Adele writing a song phase of this whole thing, you know, and he needs to move through the kind of Sinead O'Connor bit where you kind of have the sense of just, you know, God grant me the serenity bit, where you kind of move through the grieving and all the thing and get to the bit where, you know, where you're, you know, you're happy again, whatever, like a Justin Timberlake.
Oh, damn, I was waiting for you to think of a third female singer-songwriter.
I couldn't get it. This is live. Yeah. This is live.
Where did it
Adele took years to write
it. To the Katy Perry stage.
Well, you've just been to the moon and now everybody hates you.
Yeah.
No, that's not a happy ending.
One texter says, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, counselling all the way, took me 2 years.
Yeah.
And you don't get over it. You just learn to live with it, especially hard when the kids are young.
Yes.
Someone else said, sounds like this man didn't really think about what was ahead after the separation. Well, it sounds like he didn't get much of a chance.
Yeah.
Counselling is one thing, but some meditation to navigate co-parenting with his ex, or mediation, sorry, to navigate co-parenting with his ex would be my suggestion. Also get some good legal advice to address the question of entitlement and options. seemed that's inferred in the question, well. Implied in the question that you know, they've
sorted
through
that. Yeah.
And someone else says, that poor man, but she owes you nothing. Well done on getting it off your chest. Don't say anything to her. It's none of your business.
That's what we just said, yeah.
Declan said that's there. Said, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it's like the one thing he really needs to do is not think about her, but that's in a list of difficult things to do. That's the most difficult.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, we'll move on from that to this. This is the question I asked you. I warned you about earlier on, if there are little ears, et cetera, it might throw up all sorts of uncomfortable questions. My boyfriend is putting pressure on me as we make love to queef. I find this weird and revolting. This has only started within the last 2 months. We've been together now for nearly 2 years. He has said that if I love him, that he would do as he says, and it turns him on. It's starting to put doubts in my mind as it's not my thing. Any help, please, greatly appreciate.
Okay.
Off you go, Declan.
Puts us in a weird... It's a noise you can make with your front bottom. Is that probably the most... Okay.
Well, I wasn't going to explain.
Yeah.
I was more going to protest that.
Yeah. There is a name that everybody uses for it, which isn't that, which is a horrible word.
Oh, right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it or not.
Okay.
No, it's not rude.
I'm getting nose. Oh, it's not rude.
Well, it's not really rude. Well, it's like what you call when air comes out of your back bottom.
It's a fart.
Yeah, so this is a fanny fart.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah. That's kind of...
I thought you were going to say rusty trombone.
Yeah. That's a whole different thing, and you know it.
Sorry. I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Do not Google that phrase, please, for God's sake.
And I've already had to Google what this was because I didn't know what the hell it was.
I'm going, why are you making me Google queef? And it's just... Gay pride is just over. I feel attacked.
You are violated. Like, heteronormative perversions.
I just mean as a gay man, you know.
Yeah.
Look, obviously, let's just like reduce this down to what could be the issue here, which is somebody in a relationship asking somebody else to do something with which, terminology all aside, they may not be comfortable with. Because I presume they know what it is.
But you can't do it at will anyway.
Exactly. I don't know how you do it. Now, I wasn't willing to Google further because
I thought underestimating women.
I'll stop being able to sleep at night.
Come on, guys. You don't know.
You'd really need to get the old pelvic floor exercises first to be able to do this.
I don't know what women can do at will. But I have faith that they can do, if they set their minds to it, that they can achieve whatever it is.
You can't.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. Even if your pelvic floor is fabulous, obviously you can. But I
don't know. There may be some technique that they haven't gone into the detail about how one does that.
Yes. Perhaps it requires a mechanical thing of a joint effort.
Oh, right. A small trumpet or something of that nature.
That's what I was afraid of. Screaming into a cave.
Yeah.
I stopped Googling after I Googled queef. I'm not Googling anymore because
I actually think the cops are going to show up and check me out because of some of the stuff that this slot makes me Google. I don't want to know about this.
But
the bottom line is, again, trying to make it actually like a real problem is that he's going, pressuring her to do something she doesn't want to do. Already, that's just
I'm impressed if she can do it, like, at will. I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
But I think she should just tell him. I think she should just tell him it's a lucky dip.
In my experience, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
I was so pleased when I thought of that.
That's excellent. That's an excellent answer.
It's a lucky dip. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And he's just going to have to. You pay your money, you take your chances.
Okay. On the general question of that, like, if you love me, you do this.
That's what I was getting
to.
I think that's weird.
That's horrible.
I think somebody pressuring you in any way to do something that you don't want to do because you should do it because they love you is, you know, being a grot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And can I just say something else? Smear tests. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Oh, really?
Good. Do you know what I mean? Like, it could.
He could accompany her if he likes that stuff.
That's all. Declan looks if he's going
to throw. But what should she do?
It's a lucky dip. That's my advice.
Just say it's a lucky dip.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not doing it on purpose. And there you go. If you're lucky, you're lucky. And if you're not lucky,
you're
not
lucky. But she finds it, well, some women find it embarrassing when it does happen by accident, let's say.
Yeah, but you can't do anything about it, like.
Yeah, she's possibly one of them.
But I mean, it's not disgusting. It's just, no, you know, it's just air nature. Goes in or air comes yeah. out and it kind of explodes and there you go. That's all it is, like, you know.
And it's what makes me a bit kind of questioning is, like, what is it about it that he, what is it he wants out of the situation?
While they're going at it, could she do it with her mouth?
Just like make fart noises or something.
Make fart noises and then maybe he'll be delighted with that. Yeah. Or
Jesus. No, leave him. I'd leave him.
What a weirdo. I mean, let me go on again. What exactly is he trying to get out of the situation? Is he like?
But he says it turns him on. That's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Is this like, it's impossible to come up with a phrase here that isn't suggestive, the thin end of the wedge in that.
yeah, where's he going next?
Yeah, if she gives him this, God knows what he'd want.
Yeah, no, I put a stop to this.
That's kind of where I feel is that, you know, unless he's presented her with a request that makes sense to her in some way and she knows why he's asking.
Yeah.
If she's not comfortable with it, it's just like, you know, not doing that.
I get the sense she's questioning the entire relationship.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, what is your affinity with this particular activity?
Is it mainly women? Why are women so slow to say, I'm not doing that. I don't like that. I'm not doing it. Like, we get a lot of questions in like that.
Yes, we do. Think, yeah, that is true.
Are they mainly women who are saying he wants me to do this or that or the other? And I don't like it.
Yeah. No, maybe you're right.
No, I'm not doing that. I don't like that. It doesn't mean anything to do with I love you, I don't love you. It's just I don't like doing that. It doesn't do anything for me and I'm not doing
it. I think often you're in a situation, especially if it's an intimacy situation, you've got two individuals who may have different tastes and vibes and all that. You're going to often have a scenario where one person wants to do something, you know, that the other person doesn't want to do. But it's about how you handle that.
I just think women in particular seem to be very slow to be able to stand up and go, no.
Just say no.
And it doesn't mean anything other than you don't want to do it. End of story. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're a prude. It doesn't
or
mean
not
you're
normal.
Not in love or you're not normal. It just means
or
you don't
adventurous
want to do that.
Or any of that. Yeah, exactly.
We all are entitled to do that, male or female.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to my
table.
Thanks for coming to my
table. My girlfriend keeps pressuring me to make it last longer than 30 seconds.
I'm just, for some reason now, I wanted to end that item with, you know, the noise that Ryanair make when it lands a plane. There you go. Another plane landed. Nice one, Tommy. You did
Followed
it again.
That's
what he'd want next.
Exactly what he'd want next.
I quit my job a few months ago because I was utterly miserable and burned out. My close friends and family supported this decision because they knew how unhappy I was and thought I could really do with a break. I figured I would take a month off and then start applying for jobs and I would land something pretty quickly. I've now been doing applications for 4 months and nothing. In that time, I've had 2 interviews and that's it. I'm sort of regretting quitting my job, but don't really know what to do now. I'm still living at home with my parents, so I'm lucky not to have to worry about rent. But friends of mine are going on holidays and I can't afford to join them. I don't know where to start. I'm in my late 20s, have good experience, and I can't seem to catch a break. And I feel like my confidence is at an all-time low because my last place was so horrible. I feel like everyone has their life figured out, whereas I might just go back to working in the local restaurant that I worked in all through college just to get some money in the bank. Any advice?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Again,
tough.
Yeah, it was one of these ones like, you know, when you're a mother of adult children, young adult children, like this just is so kind of like familiar, feels very familiar. And I'm sorry that this person thinks they're having a hard time catching a break, but I think they need to know that they did the right thing quitting the job that they said was making them utterly miserable and burned out. So they did the right thing there. And I think they're being quite hard on themselves. Actually, I was only talking to a friend yesterday about this. You know, the job, getting a job has changed so much in the last 20 years that it's unreal. I mean, in my day when you were going around looking for a job, if you had your CV and you had your cover letter and you sent it in and then you might get an interview and then you might have to do a second interview.
Yeah.
But that was it. Then you got the job. The hoops that people have to jump through nowadays in order to get a job is incredible. You know, having to prepare things and having to do various different tasks in order to prove themselves, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I know they say it's 4 months, but the whole process is now taking longer as well, you know, to get a job. Anyway, but what I would say to them also is, I'm not sure where they worked, because obviously they have, like, in what industry they worked or what their role was. But I'm wondering if they need to take a bigger look at where they're going. Maybe they're looking to change company, but in the same general area. Yeah. And maybe that's not where they should be. Maybe they should be looking to have a complete change of direction. So again, what I would suggest to this person is, you know, I know it's a pain when your friends are all going on holidays and you haven't got the money to go. I'd kind of be against, I mean, you know, if you want to take a few shifts in the restaurant, that's absolutely fine to give yourself some pocket money. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. But I think put some time and effort into really thinking about your career direction and where you want to go, because it could be that you're just in the wrong, you know, you're a square peg in a round hole, that you should be looking at somewhere else. So have a think about that. And there are, I know, again, coming back to, there are career coaches and career counsellors who will help you to identify your own strengths, but also the things that make you happy. Because I've always saying, like, you're in work for too long to be unhappy at it. You really have to have a degree of, like, I'm reasonably comfortable and I'm reasonably happy doing the job I'm doing. So I think maybe have a kind of a more global think about what they're doing, where they're going and where they want to go. But keep applying. Your ship will come in. But maybe look to kind of maybe talk to somebody about changing total direction and where you're going.
This problem reminds me of the first problem, the guy who's dealing with the breakup, because it involves somebody who's in a situation that is creating feelings about the past, about the future and about what I am right now. This person is trying to create the ideal life for themselves in the future while dealing with a bad experience with a previous employer while currently having no money in their pocket. And each solution requires a different, like each problem requires a different solution.
Yeah.
The past has obviously been done because you quit that job and you've moved on. However, you can then write down that job on your CV, so it still has echoes into the future. Right now, you want to go to, you know, island hopping or whatever it is your mates are doing on their you know, their summer holiday. You've got no money in your pocket. The solution to that is to get the job in the local place where you can get the job and the money really quickly. That's not related to your future. Yes. That's related to your now.
Yeah.
And if you separate those two things out, it will it'll make more sense to you and you can move along with it. What you don't want to do is end up in a situation where you're in a job that you hate, getting burned out again really quickly, because then you just end up in a cycle of that. And most people end up in a cycle of, you know, work, burnout, quit, trying to find a job, because they're, as you pointed out already, they're working in something that they don't like, or they're working in an area that doesn't suit them.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, in the real world, many of us, work doesn't suit us.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's very few people that can end up finding a job where they actually love it and they don't have to do anything. So King of England is one I can think of right now.
But they have to go around opening things.
Lee loves that.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
So from a point of view, looking for a job into the future, I mean, the reality of it is that you're putting yourself under huge pressure if you're trying to create this kind of Instagram career where you have everything is perfect and everything is all deli and everybody's giving you this idea that all it takes is the perfectly formed CV plus a good chat with a career coach, and then you can find a job that suits you. Because the reality of the job market is that it's not just about the candidate applying for a job. The job has to be there in the first place, which requires the economy to be working in a way
There are plenty of jobs out there.
But then the ones that are there.
It depends what this person
does.
That's
what I mean. Yeah. I mean, I don't think, I don't totally agree with your, like, trying to get, I do honestly believe that you need to be reasonably, I mean, nobody, I don't believe, has a job, where, except maybe King Charles, where they jump up out of the bed every morning and go, yay, another day at the whatever
factory.
Well,
he doesn't. Somebody lifts him out
somebody
of the bed,
runs his bath. And
which is where I was going with that, because I'm saying that the idea of the ideal thing doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because every situation.
But you do have to have a reasonable degree of happiness or contentment in the job you're in. Because you're there too many hours every day to
everything,
be in a job that you really don't like.
But everything becomes work at the end of the day. And I'm saying this as somebody who has what's widely regarded as rather flippant kind
like
of job.
Meghan Markle.
But everything becomes work at the end of the day because it requires a commitment, it requires showing up and doing it. And that's what a job is.
You just accept that's what you have to do in order to make money. You have to get up and you have to go there. Like, and you have
some
to do
people
something.
That
and are we
wit.
Starting to imply that this person didn't accept that?
That's the first time around. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
That's not fair. No, she said she made her utterly miserable and burned out.
Yeah, and my close friends and family supported this decision because I assume they saw this happening as well. But it runs a danger, though, now that they haven't got a job in 4 months, that the next job they take, and that if that's equally horrible, they're going to go, I'm not going to make the mistake I made the last time. I'll stay here and endure the misery.
Well, I don't think you should do that. I think you always have to be aspirational, and you have to aspire to have a job that it has a reasonable degree of comfort for you. Mm. And I think that's quite achievable. But I think sometimes, especially with our, especially with our education system, which is so much about channeling people according to the points they get into a university course, which then determines where they're going to work, which may not suit them personality-wise at all. So I'm thinking maybe this person, they're only in their 20s, their late 20s, maybe they're at the point of saying, I was channeled along this river here and now I've ended up here. And actually, I didn't like my last job because the company was toxic or whatever she was doing, but maybe I'm actually going in the wrong direction altogether. And that's what I was saying. Maybe you need to have a more global look and go, even though you have a degree in whatever you may call it, maybe you need to actually be working at something different.
I think all young people are facing a different scenario, as you pointed out earlier on, than people would have had 30 years ago where they jumped into a job for life. Most people will go through different kinds of careers, which requires thinking about stuff and actually in a moment going, I'm going for a new job. Maybe it's going to be, you know, the same industry, or maybe I'm going to jump into a different industry. And in my life, I've had five different industries.
But so am I. And I'm much older than you are. I've had none of my jobs made sense to the other one. Much older. But the reality, that's a lie. That's an actual lie.
But anyway. Much, much happier.
But we've both done loads of different various jobs.
You have to take risks, but you also have to be reasonable. You have to, you know, like I don't think that, you know, all young people are realistic about what their futures are going to hold. I think that sometimes they can be led down a garden.
You're talking about, what's the phrase that we talk about with young people? We call them
snowflakes.
Yeah, that, you're making them out to be. They're all looking to be real. I think they're not great to hard work.
Sometimes the images that they see in the world because they're on Instagram, seeing people's lives.
Declan, you sound like twice as old as I am.
Do I?
Yeah, the images they see on Instagram. Do you know what? The young people are much more savvy about Instagram than that.
I'm not talking about some influencer going.
But say it now, and it's a crass generalisation to say, but you know, there might be an element of truth to the idea that there's a younger generation who are entering the workplace and they go, well, I'm 21, but I've a master, so can I be boss now?
I don't think.
I've certainly encountered it, and there's probably a lot of people out there who have encountered that as well.
Oh, okay, well that's yeah.
And I see them all the time, and I see these people who think that they, because they've been like to college and they think they know how the world works and they understand the job, and it's brilliant that they understand the job. But unfortunately, like a plane waiting to take off, there's somebody else in the line in front of them, and sometimes the world conspires against these aspirational people that stops them, you know. And so frustrations and competition.
Given this poor person,
I know we're kicking them when they're down.
I'm the only one who's not kicking them when they're down.
Now, notwithstanding all of that, the idea, Barbara's idea, that they go back to an executive coach or whatever you want to call it, and say, you know, maybe it's something completely that I got the 9,000.
Your personality is to me equally important to as your master's degree or whatever else you have. Your personality and what it is that excites you and what it is that motivates you is just as important as any paper
of qualification. And besides the vocational interest in what you're going to do, you also have to tick off other boxes, like getting enough money to pay the bills or to go on holiday.
But they're still living at home, so they're okay with that.
Complicated, and you can often end up in a situation going, I'm the happiest poet in the world, but I can't afford to go to five-star meal with all my friends who got, you know, jobs in fund managers.
But I don't think our young people are that stupid. I think they would know that.
I think young people want to have it all, because if you don't,
I think that's terrible.
If you don't, I think you're that's terrible. Yourself short.
I would have a far higher opinion of young people than that.
Okay, well, let them go to somebody to get some advice and who'll say, being a queef inspector isn't for you. Right. I've been dating my current boyfriend for just over 4 months and we are getting on great. I've even introduced him to my family, who adore him. However, there's one thing which I'm struggling to communicate to him. He's a man bear. Don't get me wrong, I love rugged men, but this man is on a different level. His back is like a Persian carpet. We joke about it, and I've suggested he shave or wax. But he says there's no point because it'll just grow back bushier. Don't even get me started on his man jungle. Bear Grylls couldn't navigate his way out of it. I feel like us women spend so much money and energy on grooming, and guys just get away with whatever. How can I move on from this being a big joke to actually taking my concerns seriously? I'm starting to find it quite unattractive.
Aw.
Off you go, Jack.
Look, you know, this is the classic kind of problem where we go, if this was a, you know, a woman and a man kind of thing, you know, you can see exactly where the problem lies. Look, there's a difference between aesthetic maintenance and hygiene. And, you know, as long as your man is being clean and he's looking after himself, then everything else is not really business. It's just, it's her taste. And if she doesn't find it attractive, well, therein, there's your problem. You know, that it, it's not his fault you don't find him attractive anymore. So therefore, it's your problem. And maybe, you know, he's not the guy for you. Because the reality of it is if you turned around and you asked him to make body modifications, you know, to suit your particular taste, you know, that's kind of an outrageous thing.
Yeah. No, I broadly agree with that. I mean,
But you like a hairy man.
Oh, I do like a hairy man. Yeah. But I think the truth bomb in the middle of this letter is the bit where she says about how women spend so much time and energy and money on grooming. And yeah, aiming for very often a perfection that's completely impossible to attain. And that's the patriarchy. But it's the same kind of toxic thinking that is making her look at him and go, he should have all that hair sorted out and he should be groomed and he should look a particular way. It's the same kind of toxic nonsense that women have accepted and kind of taken on board for years.
But she also is still accepting that. At the end of that letter, she hasn't had a revelation going,
she hasn't.
I'm not going to spend that much money.
But that's
she's realised, if I have to do it, well, then he has to do it, which is just passing on the disease.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. And I think that she's not seeing the connection there between those two things. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, I think exactly as you said, she doesn't get to tell him. And again, you know, I was thinking, harken back to the day, and thinking that, like, you know, when I was dating and going out with different guys, a hairy guy was like fine. There was no problem with it because we didn't have those standards for men. So it would never dawn on you to say to a guy, would you mind getting rid of the hairy chest there? I don't like it, or your hairy back, or your hairy arm, or your hairy whatever. Like, that just never came into our... So men are now being subjected to the same nonsense that women have been subjected to for decades or more. And she's got to see that. She doesn't get to tell him what way he should present himself in the world. And as you say, if it's not doing it for her, well then, jog along.
Or she joins him and get, you know, they get hairy together.
Hairy together, yeah.
They'll be hairy happy together.
Hairy and happy together, yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.